Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Let me introduce myself. I'm Graeme Evans, the chairman of the Warehouse Group. We're here today to review the Warehouse Group's half-year financial results and also, importantly, a strategic update on Mark by Mark in terms of the future direction of the business. I have with me this morning Mark Powell, the Group CEO, and Stephen Small, the Group Chief Financial Officer. Perhaps before we start with Mark and Stephen, I think it's important perhaps we recap a couple of points. It's 21 months ago, in fact, on the 1st of May 2011, that Mark was appointed the Group CEO. You may recall that in the September of that year, 2011, Mark and I provided a status report on the business, the issues and concerns, particularly around red sheds, and Mark talked very eloquently at that stage on a strategy to rebuild or turn around the red sheds, a program that is designed for 2 to 3 years. And importantly, that strategy continues today and continues to evolve. Today, the group is a very different company to that of 18 months ago. In fact, realistically, a different company to what was here 6 months ago. The store formats, the business units, the culture and the way of working are significantly enhanced of where we were when we started this whole process some 21 months ago. Whilst it's early days since the acquisition of the Noel Leeming Group, we are seeing the benefits we expected for both the Noel Leeming Group and also for the warehouse. In regard to warehouse stationery, the strategy continues to deliver sales, a strong sales growth and earnings growth for that particular business. The group's recent announcement regarding an agreement to acquire a majority shareholding in Torpedo 7 Group and our focus on multi-channel should position us for a significant online sales and earnings growth in the medium term. So at this point, I'd like to hand over to Mark to take you through the results summary.
Good morning, everyone. It's a fairly substantive pack we're going to go through today with the half one results and the strategy. So I'll go fairly quickly in terms of the half one results and the numbers and try and get through to the strategy update as well as quick as possible. A lot to cover and a lot happening in the business. So the slide number three there in terms of the headline results summary speaks for itself. These are the group numbers. Group sales up 18.3%, gross profit up 14.6%. Reported NPAT up from 52 to 106 million, and as we'll see a little bit later, there's some one-off gains there, particularly around property that come through. The important number there is the adjusted group NPAT, up 13.2% to 52.9 million. As we see when we go through the numbers, really continued momentum and starting to build momentum around sales and gross profit growth. But we are doing some ahead of the curve investment in our multi-channel business. And you've got, in the red sheds in particular, you've got really two businesses at different times of the cycle there. Operating cash flow very strong. We'll talk to a particular one-off benefit there in the half in terms of timing of payables with Noel Leeming, and Steve will touch on that. But overall as well, we're pleased with the result, good result from Noel Leeming Group in the first 2 months of ownership for December and January. Interim dividend of 15.5 cents per share, fully imputed at 30%. So that's the group headlines. Moving on to the next slide, slide number four. You've got a bit more of a breakdown of those numbers. On the far left, you've got the half one F13 number. Then you've got the, moving across from left to right, you've got the half one group F12 number, and then the variance between F13 and F12. The final column, because of obviously Noel Leeming Group coming in, shows that variance excluding Noel Leeming. So the full numbers I've talked to already, if you go to that far right column, excluding Noel Leeming, you see sales going up 4.5%, 41 million of sales growth there. You see gross margin growth, which is pleasing, and I'll touch on that particularly when I talk to Red. Some growth in cost of doing business, and I'll talk to that when we come to Red as well. And you flow down to operating profit going up 4.8%, excluding Noel Leeming. So that's a 4.5% increase in sales, And a 4.8% increase in operating profit, excluding Noel Lehman. The other numbers are largely, as I talked to, on the headlines for the group. So, pleased with sales and gross profit growth across the retail brands, and put all that together, and you've got an increase in adjusted NPAT, net profit after tax, of 13.2%. So that's the headlines overall as a group, with a number of moving parts, obviously, in the last 6 months. I'm now going to move into the segment results in each area and headlines for the warehouse stationery, etc. So moving on to the warehouse, if we go on to slide number 6, the red sheds, you can see the half one numbers on the far left, F13, moving to the half at the F12 numbers, and then the variance there. Key headlines there is sales up 3.7%, gross profit up 5.7%, and operating profit benefiting from sales leverage there up 5.8%, going up from 62.1 million in half one last year to 65.7 million this year. Same store sales increase of 2.1% as well in the half. So onto the highlights pulling out underneath those numbers on slide 7. I think in terms of that journey Graham referred to, it is a multi-year transformation of this business, of the red sheds. We've now had 8 quarters of sales growth. That's significant. We haven't had that sort of sustained period of sales growth for a long time, almost a decade really. And the same store sales in the second quarter of 3.3% gave an overall same store sales of 2.1 for the half. So a stronger second quarter than the first quarter, and when we did our first quarter sales release, we talked to some of the underlying things there. So total sales growth of 3.7. We opened up some new stores as well, which contributed to total growth. Key categories, you've got some areas there where we've seen good growth in consumer electronics, health and beauty. Obviously, it's been a fairly good summer in terms of summer-related products. Women's apparel, which really did struggle a year ago, where we did not really have our sell-through management really being done well enough. We've improved that, and we've seen that coming through. Women's apparel had a particularly good summer and is in particularly good shape as we come out of summer. Footwear has been a bit of a slower curve there on addressing some of the underlying issues there. We had some impact exiting winter from last winter at the beginning of the half, but we're feeling very pleased with progress into summer and beyond. So all that resulted in a gross margin, GP percent, up 70 basis points to 36. So we got reasonable top-line growth and some margin growth there, which is pleasing. Our online growth in red continues well. There's been a lot happening there in the half. We launched the Red Alert Daily Deal site in Q1. That's been a great success and created a lot of excitement out there in the online shopping world. We've now got our extended online range of books. There's over 1 million titles online there now. And basically, if you go back 21 months, we had about 7,000 product line SKUs online. We've now got 55,000 lines available and the infrastructure to support that. And that's significant. That's essentially the whole shop in general merchandise and apparel online. There has been some cost of doing business investment coming through in the half. The investment ahead of the curve in multi-channel has added some cost there. We've been doing some reshaping of our logistics networks, and that's added some cost. And also we've had 3 new stores coming through where we're taking up a lot of the costs in the first half before the performance really flows through, and that's Silverdale, Royal Oak, and Mount Roscoe. We did 3 internal refits in the half. That was 13 in the calendar year last year. So 13 refits in the calendar year last year, but it really ramps up with 24 coming through in calendar 2013. And we continue to see that delta in better performance of those refitted stores of about 3% compared to the underlying store's performance. So that's the red sheds in the half. Moving on to blue, warehouse stationery. Warehouse stationery, you can see the results there. Same format, far left-hand side, half one F13 to half one F12 and then the variance.
key headlines there is sales up 11.8%, total sales up 11.8%, gross profit up 10.4%, and cost of doing business up 9.8%, resulting in sales leverage flowing through of an increase of 17.9%. So a pretty pleasing performance there from Wales Stationery. Same-store sales at 4.2%. Moving on to the detail under that for Wales Stationery. I think really what you're seeing in Wales Stationery is what we're trying to build in the Red Sheds and really across the whole group. And that's consistent, determined execution of strategy over a long period of time, doing the right things for the customer through our people. And that's really delivering positive results across that business now. It's in its fourth year of that strategy, and we're starting to see that flow through. The retail footprint expansion has continued. A good same-store sales results now. Well, that's 14 quarters of same-store sales growth in blue, and good total sales growth coming through from the new store expansion. We'll have 59 stores now in Warehouse Stationery there, with opening three stores in the half in Silverdale, Royal Oak and Warkworth. The customer offer continues to improve there. Much better technology offer. They're now a serious technology retailer. Good fashion stationery. There really is what we call fashionery in that market, which helps balance the margin mix with technology and real improvement in the online label, on the own label brand, sorry. Online continues to go well in blue. It's a good part of their offering. The half result actually is more credible because also back-to-school phasing was slightly different this year. It pushed some of the back-to-school results into February. They had a very strong February in Wales Stationery, but they still had a very strong January, which is very credible considering that back-to-school phasing was slightly later. So we're pleased with the performance there, good, strong performance, and really now starting to deliver their strategic intent, their positioning to be everything New Zealanders need to work, study, create, and connect. And that's the mix of products there with a very strong small business offering. And that all flowed through to that leverage profit increase of 17.9%. Noel Lehman now. We only had Noel Lehman in here for 2 months, for December and January. It was pleasing 2 months. Delivered an operating profit of 5.8 million. That was the top end of the range that we gave of 4 to 6 million. So we're pretty pleased with how that went, and a good result in the first 2 months under our ownership. And if you look at their sales on their year-on-year, they were up 5.4%. And they've had good market share gains. You can see in the detail there as well. Some new store opening, focusing in. And also, they did a specific back-to-school campaign. That's becoming more important. School lists are starting to contain technology now on them. And they'd responded to that, and that they had a good back-to-school promotion as well. Probably more importantly, and I'll come to it in the strategy, is there's been really positive engagement between the Noel Lehman teams and the Warehouse Group, Warehouse and Warehouse Stationery teams as well, in terms of short-term tactical work together, but also the more strategic synergies that I'll touch on later. Key point as well, as we look forward and we'll touch on later, is obviously this is only 2 months of trading. It included December, their best month of the year, and you can't just simply extrapolate those results. So we will include a view of the second half performance and Noel Lehman later on in the presentation. Okay, so that's the half. I'll hand over to Steve now. He's going to take you through the segmented aspects and the balance sheet and cash flow.
Okay, thanks, Mark. At the top of the page, you can see the segment reporting, so total adjusted earnings of $78.8 million. And what we actually see is every segment or retail brand has actually improved its performance over the prior half. That the addition of the Noel Lehman chain of stores into their results. The other group operations is slightly down year over year. This is really a result of four property disposals early in the half and lower rents received as a result of these. Looking at the bottom half of the page, just in terms of adjusted versus reported earnings, there's really two main drivers, $1.1 million of acquisition costs associated with the acquisitions we've done in the half, and the $62.4 million of gain on property disposals, which was largely around the NIDC that we sold early in the half. And then just at an NPAT level, $52.9 million of adjusted earnings, $53.4 million of unusual items after we tax effect those two items, resulting in $106.3 million of reported NPAT. On to the next page, page 15, just to talk through the balance sheet very briefly. Probably the biggest change in here is the addition of Noel Leeming onto the balance sheet. You see that in terms of inventory, up $115 million in inventory. You know, the majority of that is associated with the Noel Leeming stock and also the six new stores we've added in blue and red. From a working capital perspective, $161 million of working capital, down $32 million year over year, you know, largely as a result of the addition of Noel Leeming onto the balance sheet. I quickly flick to the next page and just highlight a couple of things in our cash flow. $88 million of operating cash flow in the half, you know, up $100 million over the first half of last year. $44 million of this, as we comment in the kicker box at the bottom of the page, you know, was due to the Noel Leeming acquisition. And this is largely a timing impact. The payables for red and blue happened, you know, just prior to the balance date. The Noel Leeming payments happened just after balance date. So that accounts for probably half of the operating cash flow improvement we have in the half. Other than that, you know, we saw $117 million of proceeds from divestments, which is the sale of properties that happened early in the half. You know, somewhat offset by payments for acquisitions that we made in the half. You know, all resulting in, you know, a $61 million net cash flow for the half, you know, up $133 million over the prior half. And then if we have a look at the next page, just seeing how that rolls into debt levels, you know, that $61 million of positive cash flow for the half has really resulted in debt coming down from around $200 million, you know, a year ago, you know, to just over $150 million now, you know, with a resulting improvement in our gearing down to 27.3%. So I'm going to hand back to Mark now, and he's going to take you through the strategy update.
Thanks, Steve. So moving on to the group strategy. That's the half. I think it's a half with good progress, and a lot happened in that half. So we felt it was important at this half-year result to give you a update on strategy as well. So moving on to slide 19, in terms of the group strategy. We're now really a trading group with multiple business units. And the intent as a trading group, as CEO of that group, is really to leverage group synergy while remaining customer-led, store-focused, people-centered. That isn't just a strap line that's meaningless. It's actually incredibly important to the strategy of the group. What we're not about is creating a group structure that doesn't add value to our trading units. We have got to be led by those business units, genuinely customer-led, genuinely focused on the front end, the stores and our web stores and the customer experience, and genuinely recognizing that we get things done through our people. And that really shapes everything I'm going to go on to. As a group, then, we've got to be clear about our core competencies and how we maximize them and optimize them across the group. I think the first core competency is understanding the New Zealand customer. New Zealand's a pretty unique market, a small country, 4 million people, quite a long way away from other markets. And understanding that customer and customer behavior is absolutely critical, and I think gives us a competitive advantage. Secondly is our sourcing expertise. We've got expertise at sourcing into New Zealand, and both into the country and within New Zealand itself. We've got a sourcing office in China with 70 people in that we can leverage as well. New Zealand's scale is important. It's actually quite hard to have scale in retail in New Zealand. If you exclude food, it's actually quite hard in an individual product vertical to have scale. By being a group, we do get genuine scale. That allows you to have scale that you can leverage. And finally, as a group, we are developing, and I've talked much about this in the past, really how our people work, a way of working that adds genuine competitive advantage, a way of working that is both disciplined and innovative, and allows you to compete as a retailer, being genuinely customer-led, store-focused, and people-centered. So within that now, we've got four retail brands, as we call them. We've got The Warehouse, Noel Leeming, warehouse stationery, and multi-channel, which also now is we will be adding Tapiro 7 Group, One Day Group, to that stable in multi-channel. And each of those retail brands, as I'll come on to talk about each of them, we want to be very clear about their customer proposition, their brand personality and positioning as they go to market. The warehouse, discount department store, stroke variety, house of bargains, home of essentials. Noel Leeming, the leading home entertainment, appliance and technology retailer. Warehouse stationery, focused on everything New Zealanders need to work, study, create and connect. And in multi-channel, recognizing that customers want to shop where they want, when they want, how they want. And we'll follow the customer with that. So we're in some ways a diversified trading group, a diversified and focused trading group. And we want to leverage our core competencies and develop those core competencies across each of our retail brands. If you walk onto the next slide, slide 20, you'll see there, and sort of dotted around a year ago, or 21 months ago as such, is what we were, just the red sheds and the blue sheds, with some financial services element. Now you look at where we're at, quite different. We've added Noel Leeming Group. We're adding Tapiro 7, and we've been organically growing our multi-channel offering, and we've also made acquisitions in that space in multi-channel. The organic growth on multi-channel, around Red Alert, online books, fulfillment, etc. But also the acquisition, not just of Tapiro 7, but the tactical acquisitions of Insight Traders and CES, two fairly small acquisitions, but added real capability that helps our multi-channel capability overall in the picture. So we move on to the next slide in terms of looking at each of those retail brands. It's important that each is distinct. There are overlaps, but there is distinctiveness. There's going to be overlaps in New Zealand with a customer base of 4 million. It's not a market that's as segmented as bigger markets. But our distinction comes through the retail brand positioning and personality. And where there's category overlap, there's still a very different go-to-market strategy. What we have done in looking at that, if you look at the slide with the circles, you'll see the warehouse station in Noel Leeming. You've got a wraparound with multi-channel. What that recognizes is Noel Leeming warehouse stationery and the warehouse each will have a offering online representing the store, but also we'll have more pure play online offerings as well around that. You can also see Bond and Bond position there. And really, that's position like that, and I'll come on to it shortly, which recognizes that Bond and Bond had insufficient distinctiveness. And that's why also today we've announced that we're merging the Bond and Bond chain into the Noel Leeming network. When you've got similar categories, for example, art and craft is both in warehouse stationery and the warehouse. Technology is in Noel Leeming and the warehouse. What the pictures next to that, the basic better best triangle and the good better best barrel are trying to show and illustrate, is there's a different go-to-market offering. The warehouse itself is dominant in entry-level basic, but we want a better best offering there as well in terms of product quality price mix. Noel Leeming's a specialist, so it'll have an entry-level, but it will always be more specialist, better best. So, for example, when we come across and look at product brands, for example, we're bringing Cambrook into the warehouse. That will be a better brand in home appliances. In Noel Leeming, it essentially represents good. And so that mix is important. So moving on to each of these retail brands now, I'm going to give a brief update on strategy and where that strategy is at for each of the retail brands. In page 22, you'll see the key result areas of the warehouse. We've talked to this previously. And really, what we've seen in the half and we'll see going forward strategically is the evolution of each of those key result areas. The brand positioning of House and Bargains and Home Essentials was put out there 18 months ago. It's developing. It's starting to get cut through. 8 quarters of positive sales growth, I think, is affirming of that. The Way of Working framework really is starting to get into an embedding phase within the warehouse and the red sheds, really bringing clarity to direction, scope and objective, accountabilities, and achieving results across the board. Community environment's a critical part of the Red Shed strategy. It's an iconic Kiwi brand. And community and environment impact is really important, especially with the red sheds. And so we've developed that strategy, and we continue to see that growing. The store experience, we talked a lot about that right 21 months ago. We've invested in our teams. We did 13 refits in the last calendar year. We'll be moving forward to another 24 in calendar year 2013, 16 in the balance of the financial F13 year. So we're also doing there a major program in the last quarter here called Love Your Customer, which is aimed at equipping our teams to really get focused on customer service. Ultimately, we've been doing customer panels, sitting behind a glass listening to our customers on a one-way mirror. And it all comes back to quality, price, and service. And you just keep on having a focus in retail on quality, price, service, quality, price, service. And really, that is the next stage of that. It's been at the heart of our strategy in red, and we'll keep on doing that. In terms of our category strategies, I think we're starting to see that coming through. You've seen some GP percent growth in the quarter. The sales growth ultimately comes from selling products. We've got what we call our shape change strategies and our zone strategies. They are starting to come through. Private label improvement has been significant with the launch of Kensington, our home appliances, with the launch of the Vion technology brand. And also, I'll talk to you in a second, we've got some product brand acquisitions coming through in the next month that will also enhance the range. And finally, multi-channel. Real step changes going on there, and I'll touch on that when I talk to that as a business unit in its own right. Noel Leeming. Really, as part of Noel Leeming, over the last 2 months, and prior to acquisition, obviously, we were looking at the plan. But obviously, until you take over, that's when you really get under finalizing some decisions and testing what hypotheses you had. And there's two retail brands in Noel Leeming Group, and there really was too much overlap between Noel Leeming and Bond & Bonds. Similarly, Bond & Bond really only had 24 stores and didn't have full national coverage. So we're going to focus all the resources on the one brand, on the Noel Leeming brand, and hence merge the Bond & Bond chain into Noel Leeming. That will result in 12 Bond & Bond stores effectively becoming Noel Leeming's, 8 being rebranded and 4 being combined into an adjacent Noel Leeming store, and 12 stores actually closing where we've got a large Noel Leeming store already. So you'll have where we'll end up with is a Noel Leeming chain of 75 stores. That'll be by early April. That will be in place. We've made a real effort to ensure the people impact is minimized. We really do believe in what we say about taking care of our people. And we're committed to making actually no non-management store staff actually not having any lost roles there. We feel we can achieve that. They'll be offered roles in Noel Leeming stores or in the wider group. So there'll be no forced job losses amongst non-management staff out of this change. There will be some changes in the support office. The number of them will be dependent on staff turnover. And there may be some losses at store management level. But again, one of the benefits of being a large group is you don't want to lose good people, and every effort will be made to minimize impact. So that's a fairly major announcement today, that merger. We're excited about that. There's an element of sadness in the sense of a seeing a retail brand close. We feel it's for the right strategic reasons, and we'll manage that process well. The Christmas trading results itself can't be extrapolated across the half. December is such a major contributor in that business. And we expect the half two innings from Noel Leeming Group before the restructuring charges and a lot of the changes there to be in the range of 4 to 5 million in the second half. And we'll talk about overall guidance for the group a little bit later. In terms of synergy from the acquisition, that's the pure Noel Leeming business, retail business. In terms of synergy, I know there'll be a lot of interest in synergy. We acquired the Noel Leeming Group in December, and we do expect synergy benefits. We expect those benefits to come from a number of areas. Firstly, there is the benefit of merging the Bond & Bond and Noel Leeming retail brands. Clearly, we will look across the group at cost of doing business reductions, in marketing, property, and admin costs.
We'll also look to leverage trading and sourcing opportunities across the group, both ways. And we did also announce internally this week, on Tuesday this week, that the Noel Leeming support office in Nelson Street, we will be exiting that. We'll be moving into one support office here, and that will take place over this year, with bringing us together in one support office here on the North Shore. We expect the synergy benefits overall to be in the region of $5 to $8 million on an annualized basis. Clearly, there's a journey with that. There'll be minimal impact from a synergy benefit point of view in FY13. We expect about 70% or so approximately of that benefit to flow into FY14 results and have it fully in place and coming into our results from in FY15. That excludes any sales and EBIT benefit from product brand optimization, as we're calling it, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Because in some ways, that's a difficult element to gauge, and we'll be working through that over the next weeks, literally, and we'll be able to give a better view of that at the full year. So moving on to that, in terms of retail brand product optimization, one of the things that we did want from the Nolina acquisition was to enable us to enhance the ranges across the group, both in terms of home brand private labels into Noel Leeming. They, as a small independent business, haven't got the scale and sourcing capabilities that the warehouse group can have. So we do see home brand benefits into Noel Leeming helping their margin mix going forward. But similarly, in consumer electronics technology, small appliances and whiteware, there was some restriction on access to brands for the warehouse and warehouse stationery. And we'd look to optimize the mix across those brands as well. That's not by that we don't mean wholesale changes. Noel Leeming, as I emphasized, is Noel Leeming, a distinct brand proposition and positioning. The warehouse is the warehouse, warehouse station is warehouse stationery, and you can't confuse that. But we are progressing opportunities to enhance the range in red and blue. So, for example, we can say that within the next 2 weeks, the Cambrook range of home appliances will be coming into the red sheds, giving a better offering. We've got our Kensington and Necessities home appliance ranges there. Cambrook will enhance that, giving the customers a trade-up opportunity into that, appropriate at the better level within the warehouse. We have Sony tablets in the store now, building on our already impressive telecoms offering into more technology there. So you've got Acer tablets, for example. And we can announce the Sony on audio-visual is coming in as well. An important brand, the Vion private label brand is very strong now and well-established, but Sony will enhance again and give a better trade-up opportunity there. And the Aspira whiteware brand will be coming in as well. We took off sale, and we said that in the first quarter, the existing private label brand, we just didn't feel it was up to the quality we wanted, and we've now got Aspira washing machines coming into the business. So we're seeing good, steady optimization there of our brands across the retail network, and that will flow through in coming weeks and months to give a good basic, better, best proposition in the warehouse and in Noel Leeming and in warehouse stationery, a good, better, best proposition as well. For the warehouse group, we feel that in line with all the work already being done around private label, this will help enhance our offering and improve our quality perception with the customers. So that's the warehouse and Noel Leeming. Moving on to warehouse stationery. I don't think warehouse stationery can be ignored. It's a $200 million business. If it was a standalone business, it would be a scale business on the stock exchange. And it's been an incredible success story. And I think it's an example of what we're trying to do with all our retail brands. And that's come back to the basics of product price promotion store experience. Do the hard work through our people to improve that and deliver for the customer. And they're the people that matter because they choose every day where they shop. There's been a consistent strategy development since 2009. That was a business in severe trouble in 2009. And that we've seen that coming through in consistent improvement. And it's pleasing to see the results in the half. The strategic intent in warehouse stationery is to be where everyone can work, study, create, and connect. Again, that's not just a strap line. It bounds the product areas and the offering for that specialist retailer. And there's been huge improvements in its art and craft offering, huge improvements in its technology offering, huge improvements in its private label offering. And that's starting to really show through and come through in results. And so that's very pleasing to see. Also, where our stationery didn't have a full network 3 years ago, we're now moving to that. We have 62 stores by the end of this year and can truly be seen as a nationwide brand. So 14 quarters of same-store sales growth and a very unique mix of customers. Over 50% of their customers are small business customers. The Biz Rewards account program there is very important. And it's a very different mix to our other retail brands. And really is representative of New Zealand in some ways, in that New Zealand is a country of small businesses, and Warehouse Stationery is well placed to serve that consumer and small business mix. So moving on to the fourth retail brand area, the multi-channel area. We're on a journey to be in New Zealand's number one multi-channel retailer. In fact, we already are. If you look at our online sales for a retailer that operates online and bricks and mortar. And we intend to build on our position. What we intend to leverage is, as we see in other markets, leveraging being pure online and having bricks and mortar going forward. And so we've continued to identify online and alternative channels and bring New Zealanders what they want, where they want it. We've seen encouraging results organically in the past 18 months. We're seeing annual growth of 18% in our core Red Sheds online business, for example. We've extended the ranges there. We've launched Red Alert. We've now got long-tail books there with 1 million titles. And already each of our retail brands, Noel Leeming and Warehouse Stationery, has their offer online. So that's the organic growth we're seeing. But we also see potential here. Sales penetration in New Zealand is still at half UK levels, but growing. And so we'll continue to invest in this business unit. Ahead of the curve, it's a different life cycle to some of our other business units in that sense. And so we'll continue to invest there with lower initial return in the mix, but clearly establishing a leading position here is important. And that's what we intend to do organically and via acquisitions such as Torpedo 7 and Inside Traders and CES that we've done. You know, comes back to what we say there. I get very uninterested in predictions of how big online will be or not. Will it be 15%? Will it be 25%? Who knows? What you've got to be positioned to do is follow the customer. It's growing faster than bricks and mortar. Bricks and mortar isn't dead by no means and won't be. But we want to give customers the ability to shop whenever, wherever, and however they choose. On to Torpedo 7, which we announced on Monday. That's another key plank in that multi-channel strategy. We courted Torpedo 7 for nigh on a year. We got to know that business well. We've announced our marriage and it consummates at the end of this month. And that's an exciting development. It's a fantastic pure play online business. It's got two key legs there. There's the Torpedo 7 business itself, the One Day in the Urban Daddy sites. We'll build that business. We see the potential to build the core off the core Torpedo 7 base by adding other categories going forward, and we'll work to do that. And we see One Day as complementary to Red Alert. It's a different channel. They do compete, but their positioning and personality, again, is quite different. And so we'll continue to support both, and we see that being still an area of growth in New Zealand. It gives us really, though, two of the major deal sites and excitement sites in New Zealand. So on a pure play basis, we will expect this to be our core pure play offering going forward. We expect EBIT on a 100% basis in Torpedo 7 to grow and to be in the range of 4 to 6 million over the next few years. And you know, really this is about our partnering with them to lay the foundations of the wider warehouse group becoming New Zealand's leading multi-channel retailer in this fast-moving and fast-developing area. So, moving on to slide 29. And there you can see the scale and size of each of those areas at the moment. Torpedo 7, about 70 million. Our multi-channel business is bigger than that. Part of that's embedded into Noel Leeming, Warehouse Stationery, and the warehouse. But Torpedo 7 on its own, about 70 million. We see the potential for that to easily grow to the scale of Warehouse Stationery in the next few years. Noel Leeming, about 600 million. Warehouse Stationery, about 210 million. And the warehouse, about 1.5 billion. Traditionally, the warehouse, the red sheds, has been about 90% of the group sales. We see that declining over the next 3 to 5 years to be less than 60% or so of the group sales, really becoming a true multi-business trading group. We see each of those business units in a portfolio, each with different growth curves. The warehouse, no Lehman, in that 3% range. Warehouse stationery, we feel it still has legs on a greater growth potential than that. A multi-channel, clearly a high-growth area. Clear brand positioning in each that differentiates them, and especially in areas where they overlap, ensuring it's a very clear differentiation and a go-to-market in the customer base. So that just gives you a picture of how this group is emerging. Finally, on property. A lot happening in property. We're in the middle of that $130 million refit program in red. And really, I say in the middle, still probably on the early curve of that, actually, with the 24 refits this year, really ramping up that program. We still see footprint opportunity in red and blue. You've got Silverdale, Royal Oak, Mount Roskill openings there. We'll open Takanini, replacing our Papakura store in this calendar year. And we are looking at more opportunities where we see infill opportunities. We talked about the Noel Lehman merging of the Bronde & Bronde brand into that, which will give a full Noel Lehman footprint across the country, and the growth of the warehouse stationery footprint with more store openings to come there. So property now is, again, something that's important to us. We can leverage our group scale on that now, and we are, and we'll be able to optimize those sites and sizes of our stores across the country as well. We'll also open the Silverdale retail complex that we developed ourselves, and we can also announce that we commence in marketing that development and anticipate sale of that development to be completed prior to the end of this financial year, FY13. So I'll finish there in terms of the strategy update. A lot to absorb, a lot been happening in this half in particular. Hopefully that's helped clarify a lot of things for people. And I'll now hand over to Steve. Over to Graham. We'll talk to dividend and F13 outlook.
Thanks, Mark. I'm sure you're going to get lots of questions from your commentary on the business. In regard to dividend policy, the board expects the group to continue its strong cash flow performance, enabling the company to fund its future capital requirements and to retain the current dividend payout ratio of 90% of adjusted net profit after tax. The warehouse group approach to capital management is set out in our 2012 annual report and basically remains unchanged. With particular reference to gearing, although we continue to roll out our refit and modernisation program across the warehouse retail brand and will complete several acquisitions in F13, the board's objective is to continue to manage capital structure with the intention of maintaining conservative gearing ratios. Cash generated from asset sales, both completed and announced in F13, will be applied to acquisitions and debt reduction in the first instance. In regard to dividend policy and capital structure, together with associated benchmarks, these will be continued to be reviewed on a regular basis. Mark's already commented on our dividend, but the dividend for the 6 month, the interim dividend of 15.5 cents per share, fully imputed at 30%, will be on the record date of the 22nd of March 2013 and payment due on the 28th of March 2013. In regard to outlook for the balance of the year, for the full year, we expect the retail sector to continue to experience mixed trading conditions through the remainder of F13. Strategic initiatives addressing the weakness in the warehouse performance over the past decade have started and are beginning to impact on the success of that particular business, but it's still early in our multi-year transformation of the business, and I think Mark has covered that quite adequately in his commentary. In regard to synergy, again, Mark's talked about that, but the brand acquisition benefits from the Noel Leeming Group as a key focus for us in the second half, and will continue significantly through the second half and to the H2 results. We'll continue to invest ahead of the curve in multi-channel Again, this is investment ahead of the real benefits of it. Some of it's been an impact in the first half, and that's the way the business is. We can't be caught up in short-term gains. We have to invest for the future. So subject to any material change in expected trading conditions, our FY13 adjusted net profit after tax is forecast to be in the range of 73 to 76 million. This will compare with the F12 for the adjusted net profit after tax of 65.2. This guidance includes the H2 EBIT contributions from Noel Leeming on a pre-structured and continuing operational basis of 4 to 5 million, and excludes any impact from the Torpedo 7 acquisition, which is likely to be less than $1 million on a 100% basis in the April to July period. So I think at this point we should open for questions, and we would welcome them.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from Sean Cousins from J.P. Morgan.
Thanks. Thank you. Good morning, guys. Just a question in terms of the Noel Leeming bond and bond integration. Are there any sort of restructuring costs, be it closing, particularly I'm thinking about getting out of the leases of the 12 stores that you're looking to close there?
Hey, Sean, thanks for the question. It'll be relatively minimal costs. As we sort of look at the merger between those two chains, you know, Mark's commented on the people side, so there'll be relatively little people cost. The lease profile of the bond and bond stores that we're, you know, the 12 stores that are not looking to continue won't present a lot of cost to us.
Okay. All right, great. And maybe just a question for Mark, just the idea of aligning brands best across Knowles and across the warehouse, is that a function of you probably being able now to have a more fulsome discussion with suppliers about getting the right brand in the right location or actually just having that discussion, or is it a bit more we really want brand X into the warehouse, so we're going to take it out of Noel Leeming? Can you maybe just sort of talk a little bit about how you nuance that?
Well, I won't nuance it, quite frankly, Sean. I think there are definite restrictions and threats put on suppliers by our competitors. I can't prove that. I know it. And it happens. And this, I think, helps with that dynamics. But again, you know, it's not wholesale. We will work with those suppliers. So, for example, the Breville Cambrook group, Cambrook's appropriate for red. Breville isn't. Breville's a more higher end. It fits into the Noel Leeming proposition. So, but Cambrook fits well. And similarly with other suppliers, it's about the appropriate mix to go both through. But quite frankly, historically we saw pretty overt pressure put on suppliers. That continues now and is going on, and we're reviewing our options on what's happening with that as well. But it's not good for New Zealand, it's not good for customers, and, frankly, it needs to stop.
I mean, but does that get to the stage where suppliers just say, look, well, heck, we wanted this product to go into Knowles, we didn't want it to go in the warehouse, and if you guys want to put it into the warehouse, well, it won't go into Knowles?
Oh, not that really, Sean. It's more that they want to put offerings into the warehouse and they get pressure from other retailers.
Okay.
We operate on a very fair basis. We never restrict anyone going into another retailer. We believe in free competition, and it's more that. We work positively with the suppliers. You know, at the end of the day, at the better end, the top end of brands, you wouldn't put that into the warehouse offering. It's you know, the warehouse is a discount department store variety offering, House of Bargains, Home of Essentials. It's the appropriate mix, and that's what I'm trying to get across with the basic better best versus good better best proportions in the different retail brands. So it's just about appropriate offering in the red sheds and removing some unnecessary restrictions that sometimes applied.
Okay, and maybe just generally, how are you guys seeing the New Zealand consumer going forward? Obviously, you've provided guidance there on the proviso that there's no sort of change, but are you sort of seeing, you know, big pressures with unemployment or the like, and particularly now that we've gotten through the cycling the Rugby World Cup?
Yeah, that's a big question, Sean. I think you come back to the same phrase that I think everyone's using, isn't it? There's no tailwind, there's no headwind. It's that and sort of indeterminate period that I think we're all in many markets.
So you're not seeing a sort of doom and gloom headwind, but you're not seeing a great tailwind to get excited about. You get very mixed news. You get five economists in a room, you get five opinions, but they're all within a range of the same thing of that mixed view, Sean. In New Zealand, we got mixed things happening. There's the high currency level that can affect things. We've got quite a drought period now, which could affect agriculture. And yet you've got the Christchurch rebuild that's a big positive. A lot of money coming into the country there for the Christchurch rebuild. So good things and not so good things, tailwind and headwind. And where it balances out is difficult to predict, Sean.
Yep, fantastic. Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Marcus Curley from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just a couple of questions if I can. First of all, could you provide any CapEx guidance for this year and into next year with the store refurbishment program?
Yeah, I would say your guidance is in line for CapEx with what we've historically said. You know, the 24 refits doesn't materially change. The amount that we're going to spend in terms of the CapEx program we announced 18 months ago or the timing of it.
Okay, thank you. Can you give some level of breakdown on the synergy number in terms of what elements they come from? And maybe more specifically, was Bond and Bond profitable and hence, if it wasn't, does the closure effectively create those synergies?
We're not going to give a breakdown because when you've got, there's a lot of moving elements to those synergies and, just like you weigh anything up, you weigh up opportunity and risk with each synergy. You have a high level sensitivity, a low level sensitivity, and you come to the range we've given. So we're not going to break it out overall. We're pretty confident on that range though from the overall mix. In terms of Bond and Bond, that's part of that synergy number. And is in that overall mix, and we do see benefit from doing that, obviously.
Am I right in assuming that the Bond and Bond was loss-making?
It depends how you define and calculate that, to be honest, and I'm not being evasive. If you took it, was it a contributor to the overall Noel Lehman group mix? The answer would be yes. So in that sense, it wasn't loss-making. But what we've seen, and we've got fairly robust modelling on that from previous closures, is when you close it, a lot of those sales then go to the Noel Lehman store next door or right nearby, or the Noel Lehman store that's replaced it. And so two answers to that question. It wasn't a loss maker within the Noel Lehman group, but when you exit it, it's overall beneficial to the Noel Lehman group.
Sure. And then just finally, just a couple of questions on the strategy. Would you describe the multi-channel move at this stage as a defensive move to ensure that you sort of retain the customer spend?
No, I don't think it's defensive at all. I think we're leading the way, actually. Clearly you want to follow the customer. I see that as chasing opportunity. I see it more about offensive than defensive. And you follow the customer. If you didn't do it, you'd be left behind. So I suppose you'd say that was defensive. But no, we're leading the way there, really. And so I'd see it as not as defensive.
So you view it as this business growing profitability in the next couple of years?
Of course. We're in it to be profitable. We do see initially the returns being lower because you're investing in a business. And when you look at standalone online businesses, some of them manage to get around the world manage to get very big market capitalizations and never make any money for a long, long time. We wouldn't want that, and we don't intend to have that at all. And there's a contribution straight away going to come from TP7. We've seen that. We'll see that with some of our other acquisitions. But you are investing ahead of the curve as well. But the intention is to have a profitable business.
And then secondly, can you just provide maybe a little bit more clarity on what the pricing strategy may be, online versus bricks and mortars, and within that maybe, you mentioned that Sony was going into the warehouse. Could you talk a little bit about whether that would have different pricing points between, you know, the warehouse and Noel Leeming's?
There's two quite distinct questions there, and I'll take both of them. Firstly, in terms of online versus in-store, where we've got the representation of the store online, we will have the same price. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you get customer confusion, and that's just not appropriate. But we will have pure play online elements. We've got that already with Red Alert, the deal site. And on those, the price will be quite distinct. The daily deal sites create real bargain excitement and has different pricing. We also, the only other exception to that is we do use online as a clearance channel. It's a very effective clearance channel at times as well, and you might have a bit of different pricing there. But you don't want to confuse customers. Where it's the representation of the store, it's the same price. But when it's not product that's in the store, clearly the price is different because it's not in the store. In terms of Sony and in the mix of AV in Red, say vis-a-vis the mix in Knowles, the position in Red clearly is at the better best end. We see it as offering customer trade up. We're not going to just drive the market down with those brands. We see the prices will be competitive with what's in the market and the overall market mix, but we've no intention of just driving the market down. You acquire things to get profitable growth. But they'll increase. It's more about increasing the quality of the customer offering. So they might want a very excellent Vion TV, but also decide to trade up to a Sony as well. We've got a million customers a week walking through the warehouse stores. So it's about improving the offering more than anything else.
So you'd use your collective buying power with Sony, you know, Noel Leeming's and the warehouse looking forward to end up with a better price point for the collective group. Is that how I should think about it?
Actually, we'll work strategically with those key strategic partners to optimize each channel for mutual benefit. Now, I might sound like a politician phrasing it like that, but that's the reality. With those key strategic partners that we work with on a group sourcing level, it's about optimizing mutual benefit for both of us. Clearly, we bring scale to the table with that, and then we can use each channel appropriately with each of those key strategic partners, and we'll do that so that we both benefit.
Yeah, thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Sandra Ehrlich from First NZ Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. A couple of admin points. And before you cut me off at the chase and say what you said 6 months ago, I think that just a bit more detail given the recent activity. Just going back to Marcus's question in terms of CapEx, in terms of the CapEx expend this year, can you just detail that a bit more? I know that you said in terms of ongoing operations, if I look back, $87 million this year, plus the acquisition of Noel Leeming, purchase of Torpedo 7, I can work that out myself. But in terms of the Silverdale, can you just give a bit more clarity just so that we can work out perhaps what the debt level would be at the end of this year?
I'm trying to think what we said previously about Silverdale, Sandra. I mean, we don't want to put a price on it because we're in the process of marketing it.
And, yep.
Clearly, there's commercial sensitivity and we want to get as much as we possible can from the sale. So perhaps we can follow up on that question, Sandra. I just don't want to say anything off the cuff that I'd regret on that. Because
yep.
We're just marketing that, and clearly we want to optimise the price from that.
If I go to
come back on that question, Sandra.
What's that?
We're happy to come back on that question. We just haven't got that data in front of us. We focused on the half-year results, and I just don't want to give a number that is either misleading or confusing.
Okay. In terms of the sale of the DC, just so I can just clarify that, does that increase your lease costs in the order of around $8 million? Is that right? And if I look at the lease costs on that now, would that be a fair estimate?
No. No.
That's not right?
Not right.
Okay.
The trade-off there is obviously lease cost versus our cost of capital at the time. But it's not an increase in lease cost of $8 million.
Okay. And just the other one, just in terms...
The lease cost is about 5.8.
5.8. OK. Okay. If I went just in terms of the same store sales increase at the second in the second quarter, can you just? I know you've spoken a bit more about that in terms of good weather, apparel, but can you just give a bit more detail about what you saw driving that growth there, or have you? Do you think you've covered that off already?
3.3%. It wasn't really driven by apparel, that sales. The apparel is more a margin contributor, Sandra.
Yep.
In some ways, because we're cycling on a lot of too much apparel, quite frankly, we're clearing a lot. Actually, that suppresses sales, actually, overall. We had a good Christmas, we felt. We traded well. It came late, but we expected that.
Yep.
Different phasing of Christmas Day, just moving it 2 days to the previous year. We expected it to come late, and it did. Boxing Day was very strong. That flowed through into the new year and a strong January as well. The mix in there, clearly summer categories with the weather we had has been helpful, fans, et cetera.
Yeah.
We were pretty pleased in results across the board overall after it came late at Christmas.
Okay. If I were just in terms of just on a standalone basis, again, just for forecast, in terms of Torpedo 7, over the next couple of years, expect a pretty thin earnings contributor from that particular asset. Would that be fair to say?
Well, we put a number in the presentation.
You just say over the next few years, I'm just a bit...
6 in terms of 100% over time. We are going to be investing to grow that business as well. We're not going to make a prediction on this year, et cetera. The acquisition doesn't fully end complete until the end of this month. But the number's there in the pack, Sandra.
Okay. And just one thing, more of a proposition, and I guess, I don't know how many times I've heard companies talk about synergy benefits, and then ultimately they have to be recycled back into prices, particularly when you look at highly competitive markets that are exposed to deflationary pressures. In terms of why you think those synergy benefits will flow through versus perhaps what we've seen in the past, not necessarily with the warehouse, how confident are you that that can flow through to the bottom line rather than recycling back into pricing?
I think they're confident, Sandra. I think we've seen margin growth this last half, and a lot of them are about cost as well. So we're reasonably confident. Clearly, the nature of competition, et cetera, is sometimes unpredictable. But we're reasonably confident, Sandra, on that number and that range.
And are you seeing any changes in the competitive environment in terms of consolidation or anything other than that in that particular market? Is anything changing or status quo?
Oh, it's a competitive market. You see that. And it remains competitive, as is all retail. That's the reality of retail. I ain't got a lot of time for people who moan about competition. That's the nature of retail. You've got to be sharper and better than your competition. It's like you're coaching the All Blacks. You've got to go out and do it every week. And that's part of the culture change that we're driving in the business.
It's but not
just complaining about what's going on in the market. Let's focus on running your game, running it well, and doing the best you can.
Using a sporting analogy is lost on me, but I think I understand. Thank you for that. Bye.
We have no further questions. Mr. Powell, please continue.
Well, I think we've got no further questions. Do you want to say any last few words, Graham? Okay, well, thanks, everyone. A lot to digest, I know, and you'll want to be wanting to go away and look at that. But thanks for your time, and thanks for coming in on the call.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may all disconnect.